Bulletins and get out your sermon notes, and kind of leads us to the title of today's message. Jesus is more than a magical name. Do I get an amen to that? He's more than just this magical name. You know, we have I always hated those pictures of like these vampire movies and stuff, and they would use the cross like it was some kind of a superstitious thing that we could, you know, hold up and the enemy would have to be at bay. Guys, the cross is very significant, and it does hold the enemy at bay, but it's never to be like a superstitious thing. There's people that have crosses tattooed on them and everything else that don't even know what the cross means. It just looks kind of pretty, and we can put little frillies on it and stuff like that, but the cross is really about Jesus. That was our cross he took. It was an ugly thing, but because he laid his life down on it, we can have boldness to go before the throne of grace. You see, Jesus is more than a magical name. We don't just say the name Jesus in a magical way and so we can get what we want. And unfortunately, sometimes that's how he's viewed. But yes, his name is powerful. And yes, by his name and only his name, he's the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. You see, Jesus' name is amazing, right? Because it's the essence of who he is. God is our salvation, is what the name Jesus means. God is salvation. You see, Jesus' name is huge, but it's not just magical and it's not to be misused. In Jesus, we find the power of God. Do I get an amen to that? In fact, whenever we read Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." All right? Don't be ashamed in the name of Jesus. He is the gospel. The good news is all about him. It comes from him. It flows from him. And for it is the gospel, the name Jesus, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Do I get an amen to that? For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And so we just got to always keep our bearings and keep our minds straight on what this is all about. Because I'm telling you, it's about Jesus. Without him, nobody can be saved. Without him, we have no power. And we need to be in him to have the power, right? We've been talking about the power of God that's being displayed through the book of Acts. And we're going to look a little bit more here in the book of Acts. So I want you to be in Acts chapter 19, and we're going to start at verse 11. And so we're going to look at this a little bit here. In verse 11, now, of course, just a little background here. Paul's going on his third missionary journey. He's coming back through and he's checking out what's happening in the churches. He comes across Ephesus and he sees that things are happening. He sees that Apollos, before he really got the full message of Jesus Christ, was discipling people. And there were some others who brought the message of John the Baptist there. Well, they were on the right track. They were on the track of repentance, the right forerunner to really finding out about Christ. And once they found out about Christ, they gladly received him. And whenever they did, then they received the Holy Spirit, because we learned that you need to believe in Jesus before you can receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the promise, and everybody who's a true believer has the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we saw all those things leading up to this moment, and then it says that there were some who got mad. Remember, going to praise you through the storm. There were some who disagreed. We're always going to have that, right? But he continued to teach and to preach. He just moved his location a little bit, but he stayed in that city for 2 years. That's the longest that we ever find that Paul was recorded to staying anywhere. And so he stayed there for 2 years and continued to teach and preach because there was an open door for the gospel there. Now, verse 11, we pick it up, 19:11. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Man, I did some marking in my Bible on this one. I underlined those verses. And then I put a box around God and unusual. Because you see, a lot of times, we try to minimize miracles. We try to minimize them and make them maybe smaller so that maybe then we could kind of almost believe in them. Guys, do you understand a miracle is something that wouldn't ordinarily happen on its own? That's the idea. In fact, it's an unusual thing that happens. And who is able to do the unusual? It's God. You see, it wasn't Paul who was doing those miracles. And sometimes that gets misunderstood. A lot of times people are looking for another person who can do miracles for them. But I'm telling you, God's the only one who can do a miracle. And God does those miracles. in a miraculous way, and they're unusual, right? And he can use the hands of individuals. In fact, God is so awesome that he would take things that were brought to Paul. It says in verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. So Paul would say, well, I can't go there. But they would say, well, do you have something we can take with you? I don't know, I'm ad-libbing a little bit here, but I'm trying to imagine what this looks like. And they would get a handkerchief or something like that from him. I'm just going to tell you, the Holy Spirit was so powerfully upon Paul. And I'll tell you why I believe. Because Paul was surrendered totally to God. And out of his surrender to God, that he was willing to go where God sent him, do what God said, and he was sold out to God, and he was seeking God with all of his life. He was even willing to take on suffering for Christ's sake, that God just displayed his power through Paul. Because Paul got out of the way so that God could work through him. He became a cleansed vessel. Why don't we see the power of God consistently working through everybody in the church today? I think it's because of our level of surrender to God, honestly. As we become more surrendered, you too will see God working through you in more powerful ways. In fact, you'll recognize it. And you know who you'll give glory to? If you're surrendered to God, you'll be giving the glory to God. You see, you won't get a big white suit and wear sunglasses and start your TV show as a televangelist. And I'm not picking on anybody. Some of them, you know, there's some TV preachers that are doing God's work. But there are some who are trying to bring attention to themselves so that they can gain from it. And if you see one that's just bringing attention to themselves and saying, look what I did, get away from them as far as you can. If you ever see me saying, look what I did, take me off to the side and talk to me about it. I want to know, because guys, it ain't about me. And it ain't really all about you. It's really about Jesus. And as God is glorified, other people are going to be drawn to him, and then they can be saved. If we're just drawn to a person, if they're just drawn to Paul, they're not going to be any better off. But you see, God decided to do this through Paul because he knew that whenever those people came to Paul, Paul was going to point them to Jesus. And so he, even his handkerchiefs or aprons, verse 12, were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Guys, do you know evil spirits are for real? We've almost kind of went like this in our culture today because we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. We think it sounds weird or crazy to admit it. If evil spirits existed here, evil spirits still exist today. What are they? I believe they're the fallen angels. Whenever Satan was cast out of heaven because of his rebellion, it says a third of the angels were cast out with him who were following him rather than God. So yeah, they're for real. Don't be freaked out by them. Don't be sitting around all trembling in fear over him. Just submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you, it says. And you see, Paul was a man submitted to God, and some of these other people were held captive and helpless by these evil spirits, but Paul had the Spirit of God upon him, and he was surrendered. And so the Spirit of God would go forth from him. Do you know that every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ who has the Holy Spirit living in them has that same power to some degree? And so what we need to do so that he will work through us in a greater way is we need to let him do that. Is Jacob okay? You want us to pray for him? He's having sinus problems. Well, let's just pray for him. You don't have to feel self-conscious. We'll stop and pray for him. Lord, bless little Jacob, Lord. I know how he feels, having the sinuses all tightened up and everything. Lord, please bless him and help him to breathe freely. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so let's read on here. So there's some other people experiencing, seeing what's happening with Paul. In verse 13, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of Lord Jesus, to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Uh-oh. Right, Jesus. But you see, they didn't have the power of God living in them. Okay, so let's see how this thing turns out. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priest, who did so. And don't say anything about any of these guys being believers, okay? So they're using Jesus' name almost like a magic incantation. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You see, God will use even the display of the counterfeits to bring glory to His name. And that's exactly what He did here. And so as we read on, it says, since this became known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And then verse 18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. I was going to do a study on how much 50 pieces of silver really was in today's monetary environment. Guys, it's huge. It was a fortune. That's all I got to say. It was a fortune. And they got rid of that fortune. Lord, bless that boy. I pray You'll help him to breathe. Thank You, Lord. And so as we look at this, we can see that some people tried to use God's name without really knowing God. Bad choice. You know why God did miracles through Paul? Because Paul was surrendered to God, and the power of God was living in him. Even the handkerchiefs kind of rubbed off that power, and it was displayed through that. Truth statements we want to get from this. Only God does true miracles. I was very careful how I worded that, because Satan will do counterfeit miracles, but they're very limited. Somehow, and for some reason, God allows him to do these little counterfeits. Happened whenever Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh. They would show the miracle. They would say, "We come in the name of the Lord. Can you prove it?" Drops the staff, turns into a large snake, right? Picks it back up, turns back into a staff. That freaks all of us out because none of us like snakes. Well, maybe some people do, but I don't. Pick it up. You notice he picked it up by the tail, too. He didn't pick it up by the head, which is a good plan. Okay, so he picks it up. So then they went and got the magicians, and they said, "Hey, did you just see what he could do? Can you do something like that?" So they decided, well, we'll kind of do something like it. And so they threw down these sticks, and they turned into snakes. And I can just imagine God saying, "Oh, yeah, watch this." So he drops the staff again, and his snake ate up all the other snakes. He's saying, "Yeah, you got some limited stuff that you can show as a counterfeit. You don't create nothing. I'm the creator. I rule over you. Only God does true miracles." You know, a lot of people say, I remember when they cloned the first sheep. Y'all remember that, Dolly, the sheep? Some of you may not be old enough to remember that, but I remember it. But anyway, they cloned this first sheep, and they had this scientist get on the news, and he stood bold-faced before the camera, and he said, "Now we are like God. We can create life." You know what I think God said? "All right, then create your own dirt." Because you see, man tries to take, and Satan tries to take, little bits of what God made and counterfeit. But only God makes from nothing. And so God's the one who can do the miracle from nothing. And only, second one, only true followers have the power of God in them. Do I get an amen to that? You know, there might be some residual power out there that people kind of tune into and have a feeling. But you know, only a true believer really has the power of God living in them. Okay, what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You guys have heard that, filled with the Spirit. What that word literally means is controlled by. Only a true believer is controlled by the Spirit of God, because you've got to be surrendered to the Spirit of God. And so only true followers have the power in them. And number three, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Demons are real. Don't play with them. Don't toy with them. Don't be entertained by them. You need to resist them completely in your life. Don't get involved in the things that they produce and the things that they like. Stay away from them. Give your allegiance to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we need to remember the order of that. So here's the deal, guys. The devil wants to counterfeit miracles. Okay, so we got these guys who won't believe in Jesus. They're antagonistic toward the gospel. And they say, okay, we see what Paul's doing. Watch this. We'll do stuff too. They go out and they start trying to exercise by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They saw there was power in Christ. Do you think the devil knows that there's power in Christ? He knows he's the absolute power. He knows he's going to crush his head, right? He knows that Jesus is going to crush his head in the end. He knows what his outcome's going to be. So he'll try to misuse his power if he can. But these seven sons of Sceva tried doing it, and what happened to them? Didn't work out so good for them. You see, they spoke the name, but they didn't walk the walk. They didn't really have the power living in them, and they lost the battle. Do you know that demons are stronger than you? But they're not stronger than God. So the more you're filled with God, the more defense you have against evil. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't just use the symbol. Don't just throw the name out there. Be covered by the blood. Because you see, if you're covered by the blood of Christ, you've got the protection you need. Don't try to do this thing halfway. Because if all you do is just throw the name out there, but you're not really in him, you're going to get whooped. And that's what happened to these guys. They got whooped. That doesn't say that they killed them, thankfully. They had a day to make another choice. And so did all those other people that were riding the fence. And by this evil spirit just inciting this man to freak out and whoop up on these guys and send them fleeing naked, God displayed his glory. He said, don't be following them. You guys better listen to Paul. Because they haven't touched Paul yet. There's a reason for that. So guys, here's the thing. This ain't nothing new. We go all the way back to Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 19, and we see that whenever Simon was preaching, there was a guy who was a sorcerer that come along, and he even kind of surface believed, but he said, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands might receive the Holy Spirit. You know what Peter told him? By the discernment God gave him, he turned around and he said, may your money perish with you. You need to repent. For the gift of God is never for you to try to make money with it. Think about that. How hideous is that? But how many people are really doing that today? They use God's name as an opportunity to try to make wealth. You know, that's ridiculous for people to try to do that. You don't even have to be like a preacher to do that, guys. There's a lot of people doing that even in business. You know, if you're going to put the fish on your business, you better have the walk to prove it. Don't just do it so people will hire you. Do it so you can be a witness for Christ. Okay? Because if you put the fish on your business, you're representative immediately of him. And so then other people would say, well, okay, I won't put the fish on there. But you really need to be a good witness for Christ. So let's just say, let's live out our Christianity every day. And that'll give you the power of God that you need. So don't use Jesus' name for your own fame. I'll tell you why, because just like the evil spirit knew Jesus, and he said, Jesus I know. The evil spirit knew Jesus, but he wasn't saved. He knew of him, and he didn't have a relationship with him. See, there's a lot of people like that. But he knew of Jesus, and he also knew of Paul. But he said, who are you? He didn't know them. Because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Now, if they had a relationship with Jesus, he would have known them, and he would have said, okay, you got the power, I get it. But then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Guys, that's a picture of our society today. The only reason why evil is winning sometimes is because we, who really have the power of God, are just stepping aside and doing nothing. We need to stand in the power of God. We need to speak, thus saith the Lord. We need to do it in love. We need to do it firmly. Let nobody remove us from the place of saying, this is God's word and it's truth. You see, that's where the power comes from. We are the people who have the Holy Spirit in us. You see, God is going to protect his glory, folks. It says at the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You see, it will happen. It will happen. God protects his glory. That next slide. God protects His glory. Acts 19:20, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. That's what God's desire is. Do you think God will use you in this community to display His glory so His word grows? I am absolutely 100% proof positive sure that He will. What does it take? It takes us being surrendered to Him. If we're surrendered and submitted to Him and we keep ourselves from the world, we don't conform ourselves to the world, we don't try to look like the world, act like the world, be like the world, we don't conform ourselves to the world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we'll begin to prove, just like it says, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants to use you. God wants to use all of us. And maybe He already is. And I say, praise the Lord, then I want to be more in Him so that He can use me more. Let's be used of God to bring glory to His name, because whenever His name is glorified, the word of the Lord will grow mightily and prevail. How about in our nation? May the word of the Lord grow mightily and prevail. Amen? Many think they can misuse His name at the judgment also. Guys, I want you to know, whenever you stand before God, you're not going to fast talk Him. None of us will. You're not going to say, but Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus. I'm going to tell you, when you show up, you're either His or you ain't. Bad grammar, I know. You're either His or you're not. We need to be careful that we just make sure we're in Christ. Paul said to. I'm not telling you something Paul didn't say. He said, examine yourself daily to see if you're in Christ. Doesn't mean you can lose it daily. It just means we need to make sure we're going right. We're on the right track. We're with Him. Because you see, otherwise, Matthew 7:22-23 is true. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's the most frightening verse in the Bible to me, folks. Verse 23. That's the verse that called me to the ministry. I said, what have I got to say, Lord? He said, this is my desire, that you make sure that no one under your care will ever experience that. I want you to examine yourself. I want you to know if you're in Christ. I want you to know by whether or not the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if He is, you celebrate with Him. You say, Father, use me. And if you're not, then you say, Father, forgive me. Woe is me, for I am undone. And I need you to save me. Save me in the name of Jesus. Turn your life over to Him today. Then you can be used of God. So it really comes down to, you know, I would say to you today, don't just sit around counting on it, thinking, well, as long as I say the name of Jesus, it'll be all right for me. Just make sure you are right with Him right now. Don't leave this place till you know you're right with Jesus. Don't assume it. Don't presume it. Don't think back 40 years to something that you said in a prayer. See, where are you today? Am I in Christ today? And I pray to God that you are. I'm hoping that you are because you're here. I'm hoping that's why you came. Don't be offended by me saying it, because what I've always found it is that a person who's really in Christ is happy with someone saying it. It's usually the people that aren't sure that get real mad. So if it made you mad, just look inward, not outward. So it comes down to that question that's still on the sign, and I ask it to you today, is Jesus your King? Is He King of your life? Does He help you make every decision of your life? Do you look to Him and say, Jesus, not my will, but your will be done? I know it's an imperfect experience and it's hard to follow and sometimes we're not sure, but are you at least asking? Are you at least submitting? Are you at least saying, Jesus, point the pathway. If you want me to go forward today and give my life to you, I'll do it. If you want me to go forward and pray at that altar about such and such or so and so, I'll do it. I don't care what anybody else thinks. If you want me to go join that church today, I'll do it. If that's what you want, if you want me to go across the road today and talk to my neighbor, I'll do it. I don't care if it makes me feel embarrassed. I'll do it because you're my King. If you're there, then say, praise the Lord, and let's do it together. If you're not, Turn your life over to him today. He'll accept you. He promised he would. 100% guarantee. 100% guarantee. Is Jesus your king? Well, my answer for you is, he can be. He wants to be. He will be. And you'll have his power. I need his power. Let me pray for you all. Dear Father, we come to you today and we do ask that you would help us to submit and surrender every part of our life to you. Lord, in a group this size, we can have all different kinds of thoughts going on in our minds. Some of us may be thinking about that bad habit we don't want to give up. Some of us may be thinking about that bad relationship we know you're not pleased with. Some of us may be thinking, praise God, I did and have surrendered my life to Jesus, and I want you to use me. Some of us may be thinking, I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about, and I'd like to talk to him more. Wherever we are, I pray that we just take one step towards you from where we are today. You'll just keep leading us down that pathway. If there's anybody that's here that feels deeply compelled and convicted, they need to give their life to you today. I pray that they will come forward. Be public in that. For if one confesses with the mouth the Lord Jesus, believes in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. Only the saved have the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name today. Amen.